The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Tuesday morning, Junks listeners in D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Maybe you're traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday. You have the Odyssey app and you're listening to us from a different locale. Thank you for doing that. It is a free app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, put it on your phone. Do it today. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, it's very simple. You go to cropmetcalf.com, do that today to get more details and information. Got a three-man junk show getting you through to the Thanksgiving holiday. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes is where you follow me on Twitter, at Cakes Flops, where I seldomly post on Instagram. John Paul Flame is also with us.
What's up, Cakes?
Hello, good morning to you. And Eric Bickle here.
Morning, how are you?
I'm doing well.
You mentioned driving and the holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. And seems like every year you hear it's a new record for the amount of travelers expected in the airports, on the roads.
Yeah.
So whether or not the economy is doing well, it seems to be that every year there's more and more people traveling and flying.
This is correct.
I don't know the ideal time. I'm heading to New Jersey. We're doing our show on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I might wait till later in the evening. But then it sucks driving at night.
Like how much later in the evening? I don't know. I don't know what commute is like.
That's about the time I was thinking of. I might be a victim of circumstance. My wife has canceled whatever her stupid hair appointment a couple times. Mm-hmm. And she has a hair appointment at like 2:30.
Well,
that's not like when we go to a barbershop.
Yeah, no.
And it takes 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a couple of hours. And then I don't even know. My kid has swim practice on Wednesday. So maybe we'll bolt after that.
You can blow off the swim practice. What were you going to say, Valdez?
I have bad news for you, JP.
Uh-oh. Tragic news from Valdez incoming.
So it's supposed to rain Wednesday night into Thursday.
Okay.
So not only will you be traveling at nighttime, but also in thunderstorms.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that'll blow.
That
you know what, though?
Great.
Doesn't blow as much as my brother's morning.
Mm-hmm.
So he lives in Summit, New Jersey. I'll be heading his way. He sent me a picture today or a little video. I actually didn't click on the play because I was driving, but I saw that he sent it to me. He definitely had a bear in his backyard.
Oh, he did?
And he had to go to his car in the morning. He has a Ring camera. And sure enough, it doesn't look like a scary bear, but this is right in front of his house.
You see this?
Is it a good size one?
I mean, that looks sizable enough that if it encounters you, I know who's going to win that battle. It's not Eric Flame.
I don't know. I can't see the thing. Where? Why do I not? Why can't I?
Maybe
see
you got to rewind it. I don't know.
Oh, you had to play the
video. I don't know how big that bear is, but from that distance, it doesn't look small.
If you saw that bear,
that's a good size.
Let's say it was 50 yards away from your car.
Yeah.
Now you have to go to work.
Sure.
What do you do?
I mean,
you hit pots and pans slowly? Or something. I think you go outside, hit some pots and pans, see if they run away.
It's 50 yards away.
You wait. I mean, obviously,
you wait it out. You hopefully get 100 yards away.
You wait.
And then you run palms up as fast as you can into your car. And you just hope you're not fumbling around trying to get in.
Our old producer from Table Manners lives up in Connecticut, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they have bears in their yard all the time. They think it's great.
I don't think it's the first time it's happened.
Yeah.
I have deer in my yard sometimes. I'm sure you do.
No, here's what I have. Oh, of course, all the time. Here's what I have lately. A fox. I think I tweeted about it.
Yeah.
The most comfortable fox ever. He's so comfortable.
Just chills.
Yeah, I see him all the time. He's like just living in my hood and between like my house and neighbor's house. At first, he would dart away. Like if I open the door,
mm-hmm,
now he just stares at me. And he doesn't care.
Right.
Hey, does he take your golf balls? Because at Hidden Creek, we have a fox. We have a lot of fox that live on the course. And on number 4, there's a den, and he runs onto the green. If you got a greenie, he'll run onto the green, take your Pro V1 in his mouth, and go take it back to his den.
That's a $4 egg.
I know.
I don't know. That's remarkable to me. I don't even know what's appealing about it.
On our carts, when you pull up to number 4, it reads, a warning, a fox may steal your ball.
It's crazy.
I've witnessed it twice.
That's crazy. I don't know what would be attractive about the ball. No, I don't think. I always put my balls away. That's the one thing I do is I put my balls away because I don't want to get all weathered by the warm. Messed up by the weather, but I do leave my mat out, and I think my mat is super comfortable for it to like lay on and like
it's his bed,
scratch his back or whatever.
Sure,
he has a nap.
It's a chill spot,
but like what's up? Like I don't even know. I don't think foxes are. I don't think they like. They don't want to interact with you.
They don't want anything to do with
you. They seem like they're skittish.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one's like very comfortable now, like a cat.
Yeah,
I'm looking at this bear though. It's hard to tell, but it looks like the size of a big dog.
No, that's a good size bear.
Okay, I think that's probably at least a 100-pound bear.
Oh yeah,
from the looks of it, minimum.
I wouldn't interact with that bear ever.
If a 100-pound bear strolled into the studio right now, all it would do is maul all of us to death.
Well, if it wanted.
By the way, the house across the street was up for sale.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a different level of house that my brother lives in, but it's right across the street.
Baller neighborhood.
No, not all the homes are like it. Yeah, it's a nice neighborhood. I think it was on sale for $3.9 million.
Your brother lives
it's a show.
High, good for high him. Rent district.
Yeah.
That, you know what? That bear picked a good neighborhood to
he's got a nice neighborhood.
He's got some good food. Yeah. You go through the garbage, probably got some good food in there.
Fancy. Yeah. Fancy neighborhood.
I bet I might have a lace-to-lease cake in there.
I think the biggest animal I've encountered, like when I'm leaving my house at an ungodly hour at 4:40, whenever I pull out of my driveway, it's just deer just hanging out in the front yard. Never a bear.
Oh, deer are everywhere. I live off of Beach Drive, a street or two away from Beach Drive, and they're everywhere.
I think you are the most likely to have a bear encounter because of the amount of woods and you're close to Rock Creek, your proximity to Rock Creek Park. You're the most likely to have one.
I might be, but I think maybe in like my 20 years where I've been in this location, there's maybe been one scene. And like, that ventured off.
We definitely had a bear sighting within 5 miles of my house within the last couple of years.
Oh, I think we had a bear sighting in my neighborhood.
Yeah, sure.
I think it went on our neighborhood Facebook, whatever the heck there is. There's some sort of neighborhood thing.
But I would never know what was happening in my neighborhood via a Facebook post. I just don't keep up.
Yeah, but that's something like wives are into. Like
yeah.
They know all that stuff.
Facebook Marketplace. I mean, my wife, every once in a while, she'll bring me, like, she'll show me items that people are selling on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, people like Jason Bishop.
It's like, hey, can you buy this old skillet that 1,000 meals have been cooked in for $6?
That's probably where Valdez got his entire house from.
People are just trying, like, they're trying to sell anything and everything.
Valdez buys dead guy's sweaters.
Anything to save a buck?
I guess.
I was telling Valdez, my hack where I go to get my golf clothes, and Valdez goes, I just got a sweater from eBay.
I do.
Very nice. That's his move.
That's my spot. I go get a $100 sweater for $15.
It's perfect.
They smell like cigarettes, but...
smells like old Paul Malls. That's a really old cigarette.
Is that
brand.
True? Do they sometimes have the odor?
Sometimes they stink.
So wait, you just take it to dry cleaner and it takes care of it?
Yeah, I'll try to do that, or I'll just return it. I never buy something that says no returns accepted.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And then if it doesn't fit, or if it stinks, or if there's a stain that they didn't disclose, I'll send it back, get my money back.
I don't go to dry cleaners a lot, but I pass by them a lot. Like, they're always like right next to like a grocery store. I just still marvel at how many shirts and dresses and suit jackets are just hanging up for them to press the button, and then the carousel goes around.
I don't know.
I mean, it's like thousands of pieces.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they have a system.
Yeah.
But that system boggles my mind when I go in there.
It's kind of mind-blowing.
It was so easy to just lose a dress shirt in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many white dress shirts are in there?
Oh, I mean there's a thousand. There's a million. Literally a thousand pieces of clothing.
A million. And they just hit a button, and it comes around.
Then 2 minutes later, you have what you need.
Let's say you go, believe me, because we don't wear regular clothes. Yeah. We wear sweats
getting
to work.
This dry clean.
Yeah, but on the occasion, like I might have a wedding or something I got to go
sure.
to. Someone died.
Right.
And I'll go to the dry cleaners, and I might have 4 or 5 items. You just leave it on the table, and the guy throws it in a little garment bag, and you're like, he's definitely going to lose this.
Right.
How's he going to keep track?
How can you keep track of it amongst all of these garments?
How are you going to keep track? Yeah, I would love to know how many garments the average dry
cleaner you know what?
Loses.
The people that own those places, they probably live in JP's brother's neighborhood.
Oh, for sure.
Just making so much bank.
For sure. But I just wonder how they keep track of all of it.
I don't know.
It's called code numbers.
They have a system.
Yeah, I know, but this takes one sloppy thing. You got 5 guys there standing in line. Everyone's dumping off all their clothes. I mean, I see some guys come in there. You know, they're regular jobs, and they have an armful of clothes.
Oh, yeah, that big sack full of them.
Sack full of them.
Yeah, so many.
And, like, how do you keep track? I don't know. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I never know what to say when they say, do you want extra starch?
I don't know. No, I just... Yeah, I don't
said
know.
Just keep it regular. Just,
I don't even know what to say when I go to the barber.
Yeah.
I just say, just give me a regular haircut.
I'm going to see my man Jonathan today. I got to get prettied up for Thanksgiving. I mean, I can't look like this.
You're looking awfully grisly right
now. Yeah, I just let it go.
And your wife loves you so much, she would never say, hey, John, maybe you need to get a...
Never. Never She's once.
Has your wife ever commented on your appearance in a negative way?
Let me see.
It happens to me daily.
Ever done it in a negative way? No.
Is that normal? Is your wife, Drap, is that normal? Like,
I mean, your wife just come up and say you're ugly or you need to shave?
Yeah, she'll say, a million times she'll say, oh my God, you got to shave. Or, oh my God, you got to get your hair cut. Oh my God, you got hair coming out of your ear. Oh my God, your neck hair.
She never says anything like,
I've never seen it. This guy's life.
I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
It's a charm.
I got grilled for my toenails the other
maybe
day.
Maybe she would recommend that I like if I'm going on TV or something or doing something out of the ordinary. Like maybe, but
what would she say? Maybe you should think about it.
But maybe shave. But I mean, it's
my wife will just say with like
very rare.
She gets mad when I say this because she goes to everybody, oh, then it's just his life. She'll say, oh, you got to shave your neck. You got hair coming. You know, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean. That's normal.
I think it's normal. Cakes is living in utopia.
I just want people to understand he's got a bride that does not criticize him. She puts him on the largest pedestal.
But like, to flip it around.
Do you have like a 17-incher?
I don't go to her and say, you know what? You really need to get your hair like dyed or... Yeah, I don't know if I like the way you got your hair cut, or I don't know if I like the way you got your nails done. Like I would.
Of course, we're guys.
Never do this.
Yeah, well, we don't do that.
We don't do that.
Yeah,
I don't do that ever. The wives do that. The husbands on the whole, except for your wife.
There was a family get together a few days ago, and I was like, "Should I shave?" Like, she was like, "Doesn't matter."
Doesn't matter.
Said it doesn't matter. I'm so, this temple is just so silly.
What do you think it is about Cakes that's so attractive to his wife? Like,
brain here.
He's like hypnotized her.
I don't know if it's Cakes necessarily.
She's just a rare bird.
She's the special one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She's just it's so loving.
They got a clone.
She's the most loving person.
They got a clone Amy.
Yeah. I mean, JP, right? I mean,
my theory is he grew up with, and you're more into psychology than me, he grew up with a lot of confrontation in the house.
Yeah,
so
he
found, on a subconscious level, the most non-confrontational person that he could find as a mate.
I mean, I don't know if that's it, but...
I thought he just found a chick to like them.
I mean, maybe
I thought that's
it
what
too.
Most guys do. They find a chick to like them.
Sure, that's a big part of it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a coincidence that she's kind
she's
of
the first one that hooked them.
Yeah. She's kind of the polar opposite of everything that was happening in his house.
No, I understand. Yeah, and I do believe that Cakes tries to avoid conflict. There's no question about it. But, and maybe you're right. But it's not like Cakes was like, just like he had 100 chicks, like, you know, and he picked the least confrontational one.
It was not like that.
Right.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Is there, like, say you, I don't know, don't put a cup in the dishwasher or something. Yeah. Like,
what
is,
if you rip a fart?
Yeah. It's like anything. Does she
ever
go,
a normal
oh,
guy
John.
Rips, I probably rip a fart in front of my family every day.
I try my best.
And they go, Eric, what are you doing?
I mean, has it happened before? Sure. But I try not to do that. In front of, okay, I do it more like in front of my kids more than my wife.
You fart more in front of your kids.
Yeah, I try to be respectful around her.
Right.
I mean, for the most part. I mean, now, are a few going to slip out here and there?
Right.
I mean, I'm a guy. Of course they are.
Right.
But for the most part, I don't.
Does she grill you if one does?
No.
She never says, oh, John.
Never once.
You're not kidding. You're kidding, right?
Not kidding. Never. Because honestly.
This is not. This is like. He's like living in heaven. In other words, he's in a place where he never gets criticized.
Well, I'm
the only place you get criticized is here.
Oh, way more criticism here than at home, of
right?
course.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even close.
I mean, this is. Yeah.
I'm with Cakes. I've never ripped a fart in front of my wife.
I mean.
It's repulsive.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's repulsive if it comes from her. I don't want her doing it, yeah. So I've never done it around her. I don't want to live in a house where everyone's just farting on each other right. all the time.
I understand.
Because I'm trying to smash that later.
Yeah. I understand. But, I mean, it still happens.
Sure, of course it happens.
Go in the other room or you suck it back in.
Yeah.
Suck it back in? How do you suck back it back in?
Yeah.
Now,
I love a demonstration about that.
Off a million in your life.
When I wake up in the morning, I'm loaded for bear.
Are you tooting your
But yeah. Here's what I do. I just go into the bathroom, close a couple doors.
And then you just let it go.
I minimize it. Now, she's heard a trillion of them. Okay, over the years. But I'm not ripping them in the bed right next to her like when I'm sleeping or right when I get up.
I'm floored by the suck it back
in. There's a level of respect there.
What, are you guys childs? You're just ripping?
Normal.
Like if you're in front of CK, you're just going to rip a fart or you're going to hold it, you idiots?
I ripped one in front of my agent.
All right, you're a special breed. Yeah. Valdez is, you know, he's talking crap. He's not ripping them all.
I got a silencer that I put on it.
I'll also mention this. I used to be the league leader in in studio farts.
Yeah.
I've passed my crown over to the right because this guy is at least the lately leader.
Yeah,
I don't think it's close.
Here's what I would say about like farting in front of my family. I just try to sneak them by.
I put
like,
farts on my family.
I try to sneak them, but then every once in a while, you know, it's a extra bassy, and you know what can I do?
Right.
I try
You're
to sneak
hard
it.
To put food on your family.
Who doesn't try to sneak it? Everyone tries to
sneak
all
the time. Then go blame someone else.
Yeah, all the time. You just try to just, you know, sneak one. And then unfortunately, you know, you made a big giant bass saxophone or baritone saxophone sound.
Sure, it happens.
Yeah. I'm just amazed, man. What an incredible life you have.
Yeah. I'm not complaining.
His wife thinks he's a god, and he's got 4 Bitcoin. Unbelievable.
Trying to get more. Just trying to get a little squirrel away as much as I can.
Unbelievable.
Love to see what happens. All right, we got a lot to get to on the show today. We have Brian Robinson joining us at 9 a.m. We'll have to talk to him about the latest loss to the Cowboys, get a health update from him. Mike Jones will go around the league with him. Coming up at 7, when we come back, we'll get into Monday Night Football as the Ravens get a big win on the West Coast. We're the Junks. We'll be right back.
So, hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night was Monday Night Football out on the West Coast as the Ravens took on the Chargers. Got a big win 30-23. Before we get into the game, Valdez and I were kind of talking about this in the hallway. And I saw a graphic flashed up at some point, maybe during the first quarter, about like a special, I guess, a SportsCenter special about the Harbaughs, the Harbaugh brothers. It's like, hey, if you haven't gotten enough Harbaugh content, watch this SportsCenter special or go to YouTube.
You're a hater?
Who on the planet hasn't had enough of the Harbaugh and the Harbaugh brothers? Like, who actually wants to consume more Harbaugh content?
I didn't watch this special.
Are there any of these people out there about these?
I guess I'm in there. I'm not saying I'm seeking out the special, but I happened to see like the 5-minute sit down with Adam Schefter. I thought it was really good. I mean, it's pretty cool to watch brothers who have achieved greatness compete against each other and then talking about their childhood and some of their memories, some of the reasons why they got so competitive.
It's not for me.
It's not for me. I will say Jim gets a lot more publicity than John.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, no doubt.
He definitely does.
He's been a higher profile guy his entire life.
But, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was, look, I mean, we all have brothers.
Yep.
You grew up with two brothers. EB grew up with two brothers. I got one brother. Like, to make it that high and achieve what they've achieved is pretty amazing. And then they actually are pretty respectful and loving of each other. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know. You're a hater of the content.
John Harbaugh.
We've had the older brother.
We've had the Harbaugh and the Harbaugh brothers just relentlessly put in our faces for an entire week. And I've just personally had enough. There's no way I would ever consume more than just watching them on the sidelines.
I thought the sit down was pretty cool. Jim jocks his brother a lot as being kind of his mentor. He's older by just 15 months.
I never realized he was the older one until maybe a year or two ago. Yeah. I never even realized
he's aged
that.
A lot more gracefully.
Yeah. Because he looks younger.
John looks butt young.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he looks a little more fit.
He's
not as saggy.
Yeah.
Or hides it well.
Yeah. I think they have similar builds, but maybe a little bit more fit.
Jim is a little wider. You can tell he's a little wider.
He's got a big ass.
He's got a big ass.
He's hippie.
In fact, you could see when they were hugging, John kind of patted him on, like he was kind of ribbing him a little bit about his size.
Okay.
He patted him around the waist.
But
like, hey there, big boy.
Yeah. I thought
all that whole milk he's drinking.
It's kind of like what I do to my brother, Matt.
Oh, really?
I thought it was cool. I don't know. You hate it. I thought it was cool.
Hate is a strong word. It's just... You've had enough. I'm shocked. I guess there's clearly a market out there for it, but...
Overexposed.
I totally agree.
But it's the story of the week. Their last time they met each other was in the Super Bowl. It was over a decade ago. So... if you're going to watch any sort of...
Well, first of all, I don't watch any of that
any
stuff.
Sort of Monday Night Football matchup, they're going to look for a storyline, and that's the storyline. But I thought the sit-down was pretty cool, and I thought it was cool that John Harbaugh was saying that Jim was one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the history of the game. Like, it's just showing a guy who believes in his brother and jocking his brother and propping him up.
We found the consumer of the extra Harbaugh content. It's John Paul.
I guess Floyd. I have a heart.
I read a quote last night.
I have a heart, Cakes.
Okay, whatever.
I read a quote last night where John said, I'd lay down my life. Or no, Jim said,
that was Jim.
I'd lay down my life for my brother, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't.
Not the game.
Yeah, but I wouldn't lose a football game to
right.
him.
Right. Except he did. 3 times.
Yeah.
I like that you point out.
I think John likes to point out it's actually 4 because there's a preseason win in there, too.
I don't know that he said I wouldn't lose a football game. He said something like it, but I wouldn't roll over on a
wouldn't
football
lay down
game. Wouldn't lay down on a football field for him. Yeah. Which I thought was.
And I can't remember which one of them said. Said, yeah, you know, we're brothers, but when the game starts, my brothers are on the sideline with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was good.
True.
I mean, look, they got to find content. We've been part of pregame shows the last 2 weeks. We were part of the NFL Network this week. We were part of Amazon last week. They searched for storylines.
Hey, Grabby, when they did that for the NFL Network this week, did they ask for permission or did they just grab part of the podcast or something?
No, they did not ask. Usually they do. Like Fox will write in
surprised.
And say, hey, can you got caller audio of the Hail Mary fans all excited? We'll send that. But I didn't hear anything this week.
Yeah, and so it was interesting too
because
I can't remember where I was, but I was... I think I just gotten home or I don't know. And somebody said, yeah, they just played you on the thing. I said, oh, that's cool. And then, but I looked on my phone. I didn't bother to do anything else. It didn't look like they ID'd us. Did they actually ID the station or anything?
They ID'd 106.7 The Fan.
Where? Like on the video? Like there's a little.
I think there was just like a, a title underneath JP when he was talking.
Okay, good.
For like, they flashed it for like 2 seconds.
Well, that was for Amazon. For the NFL Network, I think it was on the bottom right.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about for Amazon. I'm talking about for NFL Network.
Yeah, and I think for NFL Network, they used clips from like 3 different weeks because it was the progression of weeks.
Yeah, which is what they were trying to do, which is cool. But I'm like, if you got at least ideas, you know, the station.
And the progression of weeks is because the storyline is changing from a team that was 7-2 to a team that is now 7-5. And we were talking about yesterday what went wrong specifically in this latest game. But towards the end of the show, we started talking about, well, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
EB said, let Jaden cook. I agree with that. I put even more on Jaden. But it was interesting yesterday, the national shows are all doing the same bit. Like, what's wrong with the Commanders? Did we crown them too early? Did we crown Jaden Daniels too early? And I think we have Dan Orlovsky audio. I respect Orlovsky because he is, there's a lot of these guys now. He is one of those guys that goes in the film room and really does the work. He actually, I don't know if you saw the piece, Orlovsky did a piece with the VR set. And it was really interesting to see it. Did you see the virtual reality set? So he did a piece where he was wearing the virtual reality. And you saw him go through the play. And he was like, all right, so this is cover 2. And this is what I see. Then if I check out of this. And I did, like, he was going through the whole thing, which was really interesting to see. And obviously, Jaden Daniels has benefited. At least he says he's benefited from using a VR headset. But here's Dan Orlovsky talking about the struggles of the Commanders' offense of late.
I'm concerned about the offense as a whole more than just Jaden's individual performance. And I think, you know, the question is, well, why is he forcing the football? I think, number one, not enough conversation of let's get Terry McLaurin the ball early and often, then predictable pass concepts. Terry was at the bottom of the screen. He's by himself. The Cowboys are playing. They're single high safety one-on-one. He's going to force the football up top to Zach Ertz on, again, what we call an outbreaking corner type of route. McLaurin wins. That ball should go to Terry one-on-one more often than not. The second thing is, you're just assuming you're good. Go routes by both receivers. Corners are playing off. This ball is just like, hey, I'm launching this to Noah Brown for no reason. If you're going to take a go shot, it should go to Terry McLaurin, because if it doesn't, then you can see Zach Ertz breaking open in the middle of the field. It looks like Jaden just takes that ball and says, I'm throwing it no matter what. And then I talk about some of the predictable concepts. I mentioned this last week. They run what we call sail a ton, a go or a post route, a corner and a flat route. Defenses know this by now. They're going to bait you into making those throws, and you can see kind of pulls it and forces an incompletion. That ball should go to the flat. So I think that Cliff and Jaden need to have a really good conversation of like, hey, Terry McLaurin's got 5 for 102, but one was 86. So he's got 4 for 16 yards. If McLaurin's one-on-one, all things equal, he should get the first look. That's not happening enough, and that's forcing some other errant decisions. And then Cliff's got to think of something other than Sale, like, other than that three-level pass concept in their play-action game.
I know it's just a one-game snapshot, the Cowboys game, but Terry McLaurin should never be third on the team in targets. Noah Brown out-targeted him by 4. Ertz out-targeted him by 2.
I agree with that, except the only caveat I'll say, and I'm not a film guy, is that, like Kime said, like, the Eagles specifically took McLaurin out.
Yeah, they're bracketing him.
Yeah, specifically. So in that instance, do you still force it? I don't know. He said last week,
I try to find new, more creative ways to get him the ball.
I agree. But like last week, I don't think they did that. Like 2 days ago, right. I don't think they did that.
The thing that jumps out at me about what Orlovsky said, and we all heard it, is, and he used the word a few times, predictable.
Mm-hmm.
He also used the word force.
Mm-hmm.
So that the offense has become predictable, and we talked a little bit about Terry's always on the left. What Orlovsky's seeing in film is they're running the same type of route tree over and over and over again. And then the force is, it just seems like what he's saying is that Jaden's making some decisions, and he's locking in like predetermined decisions.
That's, I'm sure that's happening, because I'm sure he wants to make a play. The good thing is that I think he's, even if he's forcing the ball sometimes, he's protecting it, right? So he's putting it in a place typically where either his guy's going to catch it or nobody is, right? That's why he only has the 4 picks, and a couple of them are kind of fluky.
He has 5 now.
5. So I don't know. I trust his decision making. I do think that maybe they're onto something where the concepts are getting a little stale too. Then that could speak to the Cliff drop-off that's happening for like the last dozen years that I'm trying. I honestly want to be in denial about that. I don't want that to be a thing because that's embarrassing if that's true. I think Cliff might be in denial about it. He doesn't want to talk about it.
It also dampens your outlook for the second half of the season.
Yeah, I guess. I would think he would be able to. I mean, it's now been brought up to your attention. If somebody brings up to your attention, hey, you know what? Your offense is pretty predictable.
Right.
You're either going to be A, stubborn, mm-hmm. and say, no, it's not.
No,
or B, you're going to adjust. Now, his offense is kind of flailing every year in the second half, so maybe he's just stubborn.
That could be an element of it.
Because I'm very sensitive to criticism.
Sometimes coaches and offensive coordinators, they like their system, and even if it's not working, they'll stick to their principles and the tenets of their system.
Yeah. You know what I thought about is remember Jaden and Cliff, they talk about like the install process, and like Jaden goes to Cliff and says, "Hey, I like these plays that we're running this week."
Yeah.
I think
that's standard though.
I think that's standard, but I think maybe Jaden is falling in love with a certain type of play that Cliff's running.
Oh, maybe.
I'm not saying that's his fault, but I'm just saying that's like he's comfortable running that progression and that read.
I'm sure they're probably trying to run stuff he likes.
Kind of like if you're playing Madden and you run the same play over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. I think that might have something to do with it.
If you watch the film, Orlovsky said when he was talking about that sail route that the defenses are forcing Jaden to throw the check down. And sometimes he's not throwing the check down because I guess he's getting frustrated that that's all he really has available.
Right, which I think is probably pretty normal. Probably pretty normal.
Yeah.
He's got to fight through that. It's probably pretty normal.
I'm sure it's frustrating.
And also, they're also bringing extra guys to keep him in the pocket, mm-hmm. which is why he's not able, you know, to take off as much. Now, I didn't watch last night because I went to bed early, but I saw Lamar only rush like 8 times for 19 yards. They're probably doing a similar thing to Lamar. I have no idea.
I just think, why did
Lamar only rush for 19 yards on 8 carries?
I mean, I think in general, it's because you have Derrick Henry in the backfield.
That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, but he carried it 8 times. So that's what I'm asking. Like,
why didn't Lamar have long gains? I mean, he had a touchdown.
Why didn't he average more than 2 yards per carry? I'm guessing because they had concepts to keep him contained.
Oh, Valdez,
or he's throwing the ball downfield.
I mean, every time he took off to run, there were Charger guys right there on the edge.
Waiting. And he had an easy walk-in touchdown.
If he ran 3 times for 19 yards, because he's a freak. He's the best ever at it. If he ran only 8 times for 19, and they're doing something to keep him.
Yeah, they're bottling him in. But also you got to keep it every now and then because, I mean, what's the point of an RPO or, you know what I mean?
How many times they go for it on fourth down, too? Like, some of them were short runs because they were going for it on fourth down. They went for a fourth down inside their 20 early in the game.
Yeah, that was ballsy.
But
I don't like that.
You have to keep it a handful of times to keep the defense honest, right? Because no one's going to crash
for sure.
Crash down.
I think Jaden doesn't pull it enough. I think Jaden gives it to B-Rob too much.
And also,
I don't think he's reading.
I don't know.
Lamar doesn't run as much on scrambles. He scrambles to look to throw and get a big shot downfield.
Yeah.
Sure. And his touchdown run was very cool. It was basically a throwback to a famous touchdown run he had in high school where he basically put the brakes on like at the half-yard line. Defender flies by him. Goes out of bounds.
He walks in.
Did the same thing last night.
Right.
Cool to see that video of him just toying with high school players. He's kind of doing the same thing.
Anyway,
there's
obviously an adjustment that has to happen. And I think in the growth and development of any young quarterback, I'm not concerned, but I am a little bit concerned about maybe some of the. I'm more concerned about some of the concepts. I agree with Orlovsky. He said at the beginning of the thing, he's more concerned about the offense than he is Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Because Jaden can make the throws, but guys aren't. The other part is personnel. And I know you didn't want to accept the fact that they needed better weapons, but the guys aren't getting it open as much. I know we're going to have Mike Jones on the show a little bit later.
I think Noah Brown's doing a pretty good job of getting open.
I think we're going to have Mike Jones on later. And there was a piece on The Athletic, and Mike Jones writes for The Athletic, where 3 guys are chiming in. And if you look at some of the stats, and this also Chris Trapasso from CBS had something where, you know, the separation isn't what it was early in the season from the receivers.
Right. Well, I think Noah Brown is getting open. I mean, targeting him like 10, 11 times. He obviously likes him.
Definitely targeted him more than Terry.
And I think McLaurin's getting open. I mean, Orlovsky pointed out, Terry's open. Throw it to him.
All right, we'll talk more NFL and Commanders with Mike Jones. He's an NFL writer for The Athletic. He'll join us coming up at 7 o'clock here on The Jump. Mike Jones from The Athletic will join us coming up in just about 15 minutes. That's at 7 a.m. Fast food on a first date, EB. How many women would say that's an okay first date? According to the survey that I have.
Oh, it's 10%. I mean, who knows? Do you consider Starbucks fast food?
I would say it falls into like fast food.
If you consider Starbucks, I'd say fine. But if you say
that's not a dinner date,
yeah, but that's more like coffee. I think coffee is just different.
Yeah, but I get food at Starbucks.
Yeah, but it's not a dinner date.
All right, but if you do a dinner date at Burger King or McDonald's, you're a clown. I'm sorry.
All right, just to give you some numbers, a survey asked single people how they'd feel about fast food on a first date.
Yeah,
54% of men said that they would be into it. JP, do you care to guess the amount of women that said that they would be into it?
10%.
I saw it on the outline, so.
66%. Two out of three.
They're lying.
Two out of three women said.
Some desperate women.
That they would be into it.
Yeah. They just ask all pigs?
And apparently 56% would be willing to split the bill. I mean, you just look like a real number if you ask a woman to split the bill on a fast food date.
You try to take one of my daughters out to fast food.
When you were courting your bride.
Yes, back in the day.
When you were in your courtship phase,
yeah.
What is the nubbiest date that you can remember?
It's a good question.
Like early date, not like...
I mean, we're in college. I mean, right, so this is...
When I was in college, I do remember I took... And I thought it was decent, but looking back on it, I can't believe it. Now, in College Park at that time...
You're going to say
there
Sizzler.
There weren't that many choices. I went to Sizzler.
That's fine. You didn't know any better.
Sizzler's nubs.
Okay, now because you're rich, but when you were in college, that was, yeah.
Probably the nubbiest thing. And
I thought
fine.
That was a silly.
I mean, yeah, but you're dumb because you didn't know any better.
If you got any riz, it shouldn't matter what you do. I took my wife.
That's a good point.
I took my wife to Cold Stone for our first date, and I killed
That's it. Different.
How's it different?
That's not a dinner.
Ice
that's
cream,
ice cream.
There's some charm to getting ice cream.
Dessert is that's like a bougie thing.
Probably
that's
the nubbiest thing.
By the way, a Cold Stone ice cream cone costs like $8.
Yeah, and also, that's not going to, Baskin Robbins. Like, big Stone Cold or whatever it's called.
There's no difference between Stone Cold and Baskin Robbins.
Baskin Robbins is nubs. It's bottom of the barrel.
Probably Cold Stone is next
Baskin
level.
Baskin Robbins is bottom of the barrel ice cream.
Okay, semantics.
I'm guessing the nubbiest early date I can remember, and you'll laugh, on campus... Bowling alley nachos were big. Like we would go. Like,
yeah, but there's an activity. You bowled,
were you
right?
Bowling?
We went to the bar and we had bowling alley nachos and probably a beer. It's delicious.
What's funny is I don't have recollection of any dates.
Walk through the arcade to get there.
You started dating her in high school.
18. I was 18. It's my senior year. But
no wonder she doesn't get size for you. You don't even remember any dates you went on with her.
I mean.
Also, he's talked about his proposal being like in the backseat of his Beretta.
I mean, it was so many years ago.
I bet you Cakes has details. I bet you JP does.
First date?
That's kind of things you remember.
Or just rando dates.
We used to go to Annapolis all the time. So I guess, I mean, I promise you I didn't take her to Chick-fil-A.
It wasn't even existing then.
I know,
unless you went to like Atlanta for a date.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we did. We went to Annapolis. We probably did that 100 times, but I don't really remember. I mean, I promise you, did I go to drive-thrus maybe sometimes if we were hungry?
Sure.
Yeah, but
you're just hanging out.
Yeah, that's not a date.
And maybe you didn't have like a traditional first date because it was a girl from the neighborhood. You're still in high school.
No,
Chick-fil-A, by the way, was the number one option in this survey in 31 states. Chick-fil-A, very popular.
People put Chick-fil-A on such a pedestal. It is ridiculous.
I mean, where's McDonald's?
McDonald's was next. It was number one in these six states. Alabama, Alaska, Idaho, Minnesota, New Mexico, and Washington.
If you put a Chick-fil-A next to McDonald's, I'm going to McDonald's. All things being equal.
I think they both have their merits.
How do you dress for a first date at McDonald's?
Sweats, sweatpants.
I think you're a clown if you sit in a fast food restaurant.
I haven't done that in a probably unless
fast food
I'm like
restaurants
traveling.
Are for taking a dump on a road on like 95.
You would want to take a dump in a fast food restaurant
I'm
stall?
I'm going for a zing, mostly potty. Okay,
potty humor.
Yeah, mostly going, you know, number one.
Yeah,
but you know, or number two. And then ordering, you know, getting your food because the fast food line's too long or the drive-through line's too long.
I'm pretty sure I've never taken a deuce at a fast food restaurant.
Well, you haven't traveled. You don't travel every weekend for the last 5 years. So.
That's true, but
you must have an iron colon.
Yeah,
I mean, would you take a dump in a fast?
Of course.
In a fast when you're food, in a pinch,
bathroom?
If I had
in a pinch,
if I had to, yes.
Yeah, sometimes you're desperate.
I don't
sometimes
know.
Sometimes you go there for. One activity, and then it might turn into another.
I almost always go in for
Cakes,
one
Cakes
activity.
Cakes is an alien. He's never driven anywhere, and all of a sudden, you have to pull off.
Yeah, like it's like kind of a crisis.
To go poo?
Yes. Your iced coffee's running through you.
I don't know.
If you drove 5 hours every Friday, and then 5 hours back every Sunday.
Here's what I would
do. I think you would.
You poo more than the normal human. You just do. I would
1 to 2 a day.
Even if I had to go, I'm gonna wait until I get to my final destination. Unless it is a just full blown emergency.
Well, I get those.
You get full blown emergencies every time you travel to Cornell.
But usually when I walk into a TJ Maxx.
Hey, can you imagine you're on a first date at McDonald's and Eric comes barging through the door, kicks open the bathroom door, and hears jeans and belt hit the floor. Sounds right. coming
the
from
way,
the toilet.
Why is every McDonald's bathroom exactly the same? Every McDonald's bathroom it's very utilitarian. One urinal, one stall, one sink, and then the hand dryer. They're all exactly the same.
Because most humans don't actually hang out in a McDonald's. They just get their food and get out.
I don't agree with that.
What are you talking about? Who sits down in a fast food restaurant?
I sit down in fast food restaurants all the time.
The lowest of the low.
Okay. Then I'm the lowest of the low because I'll do it all the time because I don't like to bring the mess into the car or home.
The last thing
And I've got
I
time.
Do.
Chill.
That's just like sitting on the floor at Walmart. Like, I'm just not going to do it.
They have booths.
Yeah. They are there for people to sit down and eat their food.
It's not something I do.
I do it all the time.
Go to McDonald's on like a Saturday morning and you'll see it'll
a
be
billion people
reading newspapers, hanging out, sipping coffee,
right.
enjoying their coffee.
Old people, like old guys, they'll meet each other.
They'll definitely do that.
Yeah, but like a normal person.
I went to McDonald's last Friday night after my kid's soccer game, took him there. There were like seven families sitting there eating.
Okay, you're also in a different phase of life.
All right,
phase
of life do you have to be in?
That's a different phase of life where you're just trying, you're literally trying to burn time. You're trying to wear your kids out so they go to sleep.
Yeah, but I do it with my high school kid, EB.
Huh?
I do it with my high school kid. We stop, we go in, we sit at a booth, we eat.
Take this for what it's worth. I'm above it.
You're too good to sit in a McDonald's.
I'm not too good to eat it because I eat it all the time. I'm too good to sit in there.
You're too hoity-toity.
And I can tell you, Chick-fil-A.
I'm actually literally waiting for a shooter to come in.
There's a Chick-fil-A in the Kentlands which doesn't have a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Now, you can order and sit in the parking lot and wait for the food to come to you. But if you ever go inside to eat, which I have, it's full. Sometimes you have to try and find a seat.
Where?
Chick-fil-A in the Kentlands.
Again, I don't understand our country's obsession with Chick-fil-A. It's crazy.
I consume it all the time. I don't put it on a pedestal.
People put it on a pedestal. Mediocre chicken and some weird waffle fries.
You know what? If a Chick-fil-A endorsement comes down the pike, come to this guy.
Yeah,
the guy who's not sullying them on the air. This is your guy.
I'm willing to pass it up. I think I'm a Jersey Mike's guy anyway, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like
you act like you've discovered Jersey Mike's.
No, I think I'm going to be like pitching them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Get some of that $8 billion pie?
Yeah. So you guys can be jealous of that.
Well, I will be jealous. You start getting Jersey Mike dollars.
Well, that's what the word on the street is.
Very good. Good for you. I hope it comes through.
You'll never hear me say a bad word about Jersey Mike's.
All right. Coming up next, we'll talk more Commanders and NFL with Mike Jones from The Athletic next on The Fan.